So today we are having this Adi Gadadhar Prabhu to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna, yes, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji, I'm here. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much Prabhuji for giving your valuable time and association. So now you can take over the class. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. We are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj. We are reading from Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrit, chapter 19. We are going to study three verses today, verse number 185, 186 and 187. Verse number 185. Shanta Dasya Sakhya Vatsalya Madhura Rasanama Krishna Bhakti Rasa Madhe E Pancha Pradhana. Translation and purports. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The chief transcendental mellows experienced with the Supreme Personality of Godhead are five. Shanta, Dasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya and Madhura. Verse number 186.
Hasyodbhutastatha viraha karuno raudraiti api bhayanakah sabibhatsa iti gunascha saptadha.
Translation. Besides the five direct mellows, there are seven indirect mellows known as laughter, wonder, chivalry, compassion, anger, disaster, and fear. Purport. This verse is found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.5.116. Verse number 187.
Hasya Adbhuta Vira Karuna Raudra Bibitsa Bhaya Pancha Vidha Bhakte Gauna Saptara Sahaya.
Translation. In addition to the five direct mellows, there are seven indirect mellows known as laughter, wonder, chivalry, compassion, anger, disaster and fear. Purport. The purport is very beautiful and very long. There are lots of verses that Srila Prabhupada quotes from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and I may not be very expert at reading them. So I will just read the translation and commentary of Srila Prabhupada. I will skip the actual Sanskrit verses as we read the purport.
Shanta Bhakti Rasa is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.1.426 as follows. When Shanta Rati, neutral attraction, exists continuously and is mixed with ecstatic emotion, and when the devotee relishes that neutral position, it is called Shanta Bhakti Rasa. Shanta Bhakti Rasa devotees generally relish the impersonal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since their taste of transcendental bliss is incomplete, it is called aghana or not concentrated. A comparison is made between ordinary milk and concentrated milk. When the same devotee goes beyond the impersonal and tastes the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form as Satchid Ananda Vigraha, Brahma Samhita 5.1, his transcendental blissful body, complete knowledge and eternity. The taste is called concentrated, ghana, transcendental bliss. Sometimes the devotee in Shantaras, sometimes the devotees in Shantaras relish transcendental bliss after meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this is not comparable to the transcendental bliss relished by the devotees situated in Dasyaras. The transcendental mellow in which one renders service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dasyaras or Dasya Bhaktiras is described in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu 3.2.324 as follows. When according to his desires the living entity develops love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this beginning stage of love is called Dasya Bhakti Rasa. Dasya Bhakti Rasa is divided into two categories called Sambhrama Dasya and Gaurava Dasya. In Sambhrama Dasya, the devotee renders respectful service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in the more advanced Gaurava Dasya stage, his service takes the form of giving protection to the Lord. Sakhya Bhakti Rasa is described as follows in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.3.1. According to one's original consciousness, ecstatic emotions may be exhibited as continuously existing in fraternity. When this stage of Krishna consciousness is mature, it is called Preyo Rasa or Sakhya Bhakti Rasa. Vatsalya Bhakti Rasa is described. Vatsalya Bhakti Rasa is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.4.1 as follows. When the eternally existing love of Godhead transforms into parental love and is mixed with corresponding emotions, that stage of spiritual existence is described by learned devotees as Vatsalya Bhakti Rasa. Madhura Bhakti Rasa is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.5.1 as follows. If in accordance with one's own natural development in Krishna consciousness, one's attraction leans towards conjugal love within the heart, that is called attachment in conjugal love or Madhura Rasa. Similarly, Hasya, Adbhuta, Veera, Karuna, Raudra, Bhaya and Vivitsa, the seven indirect mellows are explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 4.1.6. The Hasya Bhakti Rasa, laughing devotion, is explained as follows. When through devotional service a laughing attachment to Krishna is developed, it is called Hasya Bhakti Rasa by learned scholars. Similarly, Adbhut Rasa is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 4.2.1 as, when one's general attachment is fixed in wonder, it is called Adbhud Bhakti Rasa. Veera Bhakti Rasa is described as follows, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 4.3.1. When attachment to Krishna mixes with the bellicose desire, the charitable tendency or the merciful tendency in the heart of the devotee, such devotion is called Veera Bhakti Rasa. Karuna Bhakti Rasa is described as follows, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 4.4.1. When one's devotional attitude and attachment for Krishna is mixed with lamentation, it is called Karuna Bhakti Rasa. Similarly, Raudra Bhakti Rasa is described as follows. When devotion is mixed with anger in the heart of the devotee, the taste is called Raudra Bhakti Rasa. Bhayanak Bhakti Rasa is described as follows in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 4.6.1. When devotion is mixed with fear, it is called Bhayanak Bhakti Rasa. Vibhatsa Bhakti Rasa is described as follows. When one's attachment for Krishna develops in an abominable way and the devotee enjoys it, that is called Vibhatsa Bhakti Rasa. In conclusion, when a pure devotee is situated in any of the five principal mellows, Shanta, Dasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya or Madhura, and that mellow is mixed with one or more of the seven indirect bhakti rasas, Hasya, Adbhud, Veera, Karuna, Raudra, Bhayanak or Bivatsa, the indirect mellows become prominent. The indirect mellows become prominent.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya
चक्षुरुन् मिलितं येना तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभिष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांचाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेमा प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरात्रिते नमः। पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपा स्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा। I would like to offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of all the devotees who are listening. I also humbly beg all of you to please bless me so that I may be able to serve you by glorifying Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga in the right way, so that our hearts become purified and our hearts become attracted to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Today we are continuing our study of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit from the Madhya Leela in a section called as Rupa Shiksha, the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his beloved disciple Srila Rupa Goswami at Prayag. And this beautiful Shastra, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit, is written in very beautiful poetic Bengali language by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj. I am very, very grateful to be back in the association of all of you. I really look forward to associating with you whenever Krishna gives me this opportunity. And I am very grateful to the organizers for keeping me in your association. The topics that we are discussing are quite elevated. They are not the basic concepts of Bhakti Yoga. These are advanced topics. It is said that, as we all know, Bhagavad Gita is the graduate study of Bhakti Yoga. Bhagavad Gita unequivocally establishes the sadhya and the sadhana. The sadhya is the goal of our life is Krishna. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is established as the supreme personality of Godhead. अहम सर्वस्य प्रभवो मतः सर्वं प्रवर्तते इति मत्वा भजन्ते माम बुद्ध भाव समान्विता. कृष्ण एक्सप्लेन्स इन द 10th चैप्टर दैट एवरीथिंग एमिनेट्स फ्रॉम हिम मतः परतरम नान्यत् किंचिदस्ति धनंजय मयि सर्वमितं प्रोतम सूत्रे मणि गणायव. कृष्ण सेज दैट देयर इज नो ट्रूथ ओ धनंजय सुपीरियर टू मी बियॉन्ड मी एवरीथिंग रेस्ट्स इन मी जस्ट लाइक पर्ल्स आर स्ट्रंग on a sutra, on a thread. So Krishna is established very firmly as the supreme aim of our life in Bhagavad Gita. And Bhakti Yoga is firmly established as the best means of attaining Krishna. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru mam eva shashi yukta eva matmanam mat parayana in the 9th chapter. And also in the 18th chapter, same instruction Krishna repeats and then concludes his instructions by saying, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami masucha. So just abandoning everything else and just one pointed sharanadati, surrender at the lotus feet of Shyam Sundar, surrendering at the lotus feet of Gopinath, surrendering at the lotus feet of our beloved Krishna, is the essence of all dharma. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the post-graduate study of Bhagavad Gita, post-graduate study of Bhakti Yoga, because it starts from this principle of Bhakti Yoga, which Bhagavad Gita establishes. Bhagavatam itself starts with Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Throughout the beautiful Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad means beautiful, all auspicious. Srimad Bhagavatam, throughout we read how Krishna reciprocates, takes care and nurtures his beloved devotees. Bhagavatam is saturated, filled with, overflowing with Krishna Rasayan. And today we are discussing the rasas, the five principal rasas and the seven secondary rasas. But this Krishna rasa ayan, this Krishna rasayan, this Krishna rasamrit is saturated in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. If we just look at the overall Bhagavatam, it is so beautiful. It begins with how Krishna protects Arjun from the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama, how Krishna protects the helpless widow Uttara. She has just lost her husband Abhimanyu, who was killed by ruthless cheating. 7-8 Atirathis attacked him and he was mercilessly slaughtered, murdered on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And the young, beautiful Uttara lost her heroic husband when she was carrying their first child in her womb, Maharaj Parikshit. And to finish, the last surviving member of the Pandava dynasty, Ashwatthama threw a Brahmastra at the womb of Uttara. And how, when Krishna was about to leave for Dwarka after establishing Yudhishthira Maharaj as the king of Hastinapur and the king of the world and having him perform 3 Ashwamedha Yajnas, when he was about to leave, Uttara comes running, helplessly prays, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagatpate Na Anyad Abhayam Pasche Yatra Mrutyu Parasparam. Pahi Pahi Mahayogin. Krishna is sitting on his chariot and leaving for Dwarka, and the helpless widow comes running with folded hands, with tears in her eyes, with extreme transcendental fear for the pure devotee who she was carrying in her womb, the grandson of Arjun and the son of Abhimanyu, the devotee of Krishna that she was carrying was about to die in her womb. Helplessly she is praying, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin, Pahi Pahi, please look at me mercifully, please protect me, please protect me. O supreme mystic Mahayogin, Deva Deva Jagatpate, Deva Dev, O Lord of the Devatas, O Master of the Demigods, Jagatpate, O Supreme Father, O Supreme Master of this entire Jagat, of this entire creation. Nanyad Abhayam Pasche. Nanyad means there is nobody else. Abhayam means to give fearlessness. And Pasche means to see. Paschati means to see. Nanyad Abhayam Pasche means I cannot see anyone else who can give me fearlessness. Yatra Mrutyu Parasparam. In this world where there is Mrutyu at every step, where there is death all around us. In such a world, such a Dukhalayam Ashashvatam world, Anityam Asukham Lokam, I do not find anybody else other than you, O Jagatpate, O Deva Dev, O Mahayogin, who can give me Abhay. Uttara prays. Then Mother Kunti prays. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Then Bhishma Dev prays. Arjun prays when he sees the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama. This is just the first canto. It keeps going. All the cantos, they are filled with amazing, beautiful prayers of devotees who have experienced Krishna's protection, Krishna's love. Dhruv Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, Maharaj Chitraketu, Ajamil. One after the other, there are just beautiful stories and beautiful prayers of Brahmaji, Indradev, the Vedas personified, the demigods, Devatagan, offering prayers to the womb of Mother Devaki when Krishna is about to appear. The prayers of Nagapatnis, the prayers of the wives of the Yajnik Brahmans, prayers of Mother Rukmini, begging Krishna to rescue her from the jackal called Shishupal. Bhagavatam is saturated with amazing, beautiful prayers. Prayers of Vritrasur. How beautiful. Prayers of Uddhav. Prayers of Vidur, Maitreya. Bhagavatam is saturated. Saturated with these prayers. Prayers of Parikshit Maharaj. Prayers of Sukhdev Goswami, prayers of the sages of Naimisharanya, the beautiful statements of the Nava Yogendras. Everywhere in Bhagavatam we see there are just prayers, 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 prayers. It's not just stories, stories, stories. It is prayers, prayers, prayers. Beautiful prayers by self-realized, amazing devotees. Of different bhakti rasas. Today we are studying the bhakti rasas. Jivera Swarup Hai Krishnara Nitya Das. We are all not this body made up of skin, muscles, bone, bile, blood. No. We are not this body. We are not the mind, because the mind also fluctuates, keeps changing. We are not the intelligence. We are not the ego, because the ego also can get purified, can get transformed. Intelligence can be blunted, intelligence can be sharpened. All these things are changing. So we are not all these things. Who is that entity who is same, who is unborn, who is eternal? Ajo Shashvatam. Who is that entity who remains unchanged, unaffected by these transitions and transformations and changes of the ego, intelligence, mind and body? That is the soul. Jivera Swarup Hai Krishnara Nityada. We are the Jiv, Atma, living entity. And our constitutional position is to be eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna Bhagavan. This is the fundamental teaching of Shri Rupa Goswami to Sanatan Goswami. Jivera Swarup Hai Krishnara Nityada. And when these Jivatmas, when these living entities become perfect, when they become devoid of all materialistic coverings, and they begin to act and function in their constitutional position, they become Shuddha Bhaktas. They become pure devotees. And such pure devotees reciprocate with Krishna, reciprocate with Radha and Krishna in five main rasas, starting from Shantaras, as Srila Prabhupada was describing in the purport. Shantaras is the rasa, is the emotion, is the experience, is the relationship of neutrality. Just like the soft dust, the soft vraja raja, the soft soil of Vrindavan, on which Yamuna Tiravana Chari. When Krishna walks with his unlimited beautiful friends, his unlimited cows and calves, on the beautiful scenic banks of Mother Yamuna, who is filled with nectarian water, just right to please the senses of Krishna, his gopa friends, and his cows and calves. This soft soil of Vrindavan, this nectarian water of Yamuna, the Kalpavruksha trees, Krishna's transcendentally maddening flute, which helplessly attracts the hearts of his devotees. All these are conscious devotees in Shantaras. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, Urdhva Mulam Adhashaka. Urdhva Mulam. The roots go upwards, Adho Shakha, and the branches are going downwards. That is the material world. It's an inverted, perverted reflection of the spiritual world. In material world, the soil, the water, the trees, they are not actively reciprocating with us. It doesn't happen that when we go apple picking or strawberry picking, the tree bends down and the branches come towards us and offer us their best fruits, that kind of reciprocation does not happen. If some unfortunate person slips and falls down, the ground under him or her doesn't become soft like a cotton mattress. No. These material elements in the material world are unforgiving. That reciprocation doesn't exist. So the things in Shantaras in the material world are completely different from these things which are in the Shantaras in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, these things like the soil, the water, the trees, the fruits, the milk that Krishna drinks, everything is a living entity. Everything is a jivatma. Everything is fully conscious, full of knowledge, and full of bliss and eternal. And these devotees are in the Shantaras. They choose to become Krishna's flute. They choose to become Krishna's jewels. They choose to become the soft particles of dust on Krishna's lotus feet. Shantaras. When you mix, when you add a very sweet service attitude into Shantaras, it becomes Dasyaras. So Shantaras is assisting Krishna, giving pleasure to Krishna. But when that pleasure giving tendency becomes even stronger, then it becomes Dasyaras. Dasyaras is of two types. One is just following the instructions of Krishna and serving him. And second is when this feeling of servitude becomes so strong that you want to protect your Lord. You become protective about your Lord. That is even a higher advanced stage of Dasya, Gaurava Dasya, Rasa. When you mix and when you add a certain sweet intimacy, friendship, camaraderie into this Dasyaras, then Dasyaras becomes Sakhyaras. In Sakhyaras, there is a deep friendship. And just like Dasyaras is of two types, Sakhyaras also is of two types. There is friendship with certain awe and reverence, certain respect, and there is friendship without any such social considerations. So when Bali Maharaj offers everything to Vamanadev, he is acting in the mood of a humble servant. And when Hanumanji is getting Sanjeevani from the Himalayas, when Hanumanji is bringing medicine to revive Lakshman so that Lakshman's life will be saved, and in turn Lord Ram's life will also be saved, because Lord Ramchandra cannot live without his dear Lakshman. That time, Hanumanji is filled with that spirit of, I want to protect my Lord. I want to protect my Lakshman Ram. That is a higher stage of Dasyaras. Very high. Similarly, when Sugriv and Vibhishan become friends with Lord Ramchandra, there is awe and reverence mixed in it. But when Subala, Madhumangal, Shridama, Krishna Stoka Krishna, Sudama of Vrindavan, when they become when they are acting in their friendship with Krishna, there is no awe and reverence. they will feed Krishna something that they have eaten from their plate. They will climb on Krishna's back. They will play ball with Krishna. They will play tag with Krishna. They will wrestle with Krishna. They will defeat Krishna. They will fight with Krishna. They will chastise Krishna. There is no awe and reverence. Just pure, loving friendship. That is the advanced stage of Sakya Ras. When you add and when you mix in this advanced stage of Sakya Ras, when you add a certain intimacy where you feel responsible to take care of your beloved, that is called Vatsalya Ras. So there is one stage where a devotee stands in front of Krishna and with folded hands prays, "My dear Krishna, I am yours." That is one stage. When Vibhishan tried to reform his evil brother Ravan, when Vibhishan tried to convince Ravan to respectfully, honorably return Srimati Sita Devi back to Lord Ramchandra, Ravan became angry. He was livid and he threatened to kill Vibhishan after chastising him with very unkind words. At that time, Vibhishan gave up his house, gave up his kingdom, gave up his family, gave up his brother, and with four servants, he came to the shelter of Lord Ramchandra. And with folded hands, he offered prayers and took shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Ramchandra Bhagwan. At that time, many of the Vanar Sainiks, soldiers and commanders in the Vanar Sena of Sri Ramchandra, they were skeptical, they were doubtful, they were suspicious that Vibhishan could be a spy sent by Ravan. He could infiltrate our army and cause great damage and havoc. So they, as advisors of Sri Ramchandra, advised him not to accept the friendship of Vibhishan. Lord Ramchandra took opinion from all his advisors. And everyone except Hanumanji advised him to be very careful of Vibhishan and to not accept him like that. But Hanumanji gave his opinion that Vibhishan's intentions were bona fide and he should be accepted as a friend. At that time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagwan Ram, spoke words which are eternally documented in Valmiki Ramayana. And from time immemorial, this verse of Valmiki Ramayana is etched in the hearts of his loving devotees. Because this verse gives supreme hope to the Bhaktaganas, to the devotees. Prabhu Sri Ramchandra spoke in the presence of the thousands of Vanar Sena, Vanar Sainiks, in the presence of Vibhishan and his four servants, in the presence of Jambavan, Angad, Sugriv, and in the presence of Hanumanji. Lord Ramchandra said, he announced, he declared, Sakrideva prapannoyam tavasmiti sayachate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadami etad vratam mama. Sakrid, even if once, Sakrideva prapannoyam, if a person comes and surrenders to me, prapannoyam, Sakrideva prapannoyam tavasmiti sayachate. And he petitions me. He earnestly prays to me. Yachana. That tava asmi. I am yours. Tavasmiti sayachate. Abhayam sarvada tasmai dadami. I will give him eternal fearlessness. I will give him eternal shelter. Abhayam sarvada. The person is only saying once, sakrid, tavasmiti, and he's doing yachana, I am yours. Only once he is saying. But Lord Ramchandra says, I will give him abhayam forever. He is saying once, I take shelter. I will not give him abhayam for one occasion. No. Abhayam sarvada. I will give him abhayam forever, eternal. Abhayam sarvada tasmai dadami. I will give him abhayam sarvada dadami. I will give him eternal protection. Vratam mama. This is my vrata. This is my vow. I take a vow. Anyone who even once says, Bhagwan, I am yours, I will accept him and give him my eternal shelter. Please, I request everyone, right now, close your eyes. I'm begging you. Please, everyone, close your eyes. Fold your hands and pray. Krishna, I am yours. From this day, Krishna, I am yours. Krishna, I am yours. I belong to you. Please make me your puppet. I don't know what to do. I am foolish. By your mercy, I have found shelter at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and his disciples. Please purify me. Please purify me so that I can become a puppet for your pleasure. I don't know what to do. You make me do whatever you want me to do. But I cannot do that unless I am purified. So please purify me. That is why I chant 16 rounds of your holy names. Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Please purify us. Please purify us. Please purify us. We are yours. When Lord Ramchandra says like this, I will accept Vibhishan, what to speak of Vibhishan even if Ravan comes and says, Tavasmi, I am yours. Take Mother Sita back. I am sorry. I will accept Ravan also without arguing. What to speak of Vibhishan? I will accept Ravan. So Hanumanji asks Lord Ramchandra, Prabhu Ramchandra ji, you are saying that you will accept Ravan if he comes and says once, Tava Asmi, I am yours. But you have already accepted Vibhishan. And by accepting Vibhishan, you have made him the king of Lanka. You have coronated Vibhishan already as the future king of Lanka. Then if Ravan comes and takes your shelter, then what will Ravan do? Which kingdom will you give him? Because his Lanka you have already promised to Vibhishan. So who, what will Ravan do? What kingdom will you give Ravan? Lord Ramchandra, out of his ecstasy, out of his oceanic love for all living entities, standing on the banks of the ocean, Lord Ramchandra, out of his oceanic compassion, answered Hanumanji by saying, I will give Ravan Ayodhya. I have already promised Lanka to Vibhishan. I have coronated him as the king of Lanka. So if Ravan comes and takes shelter at my lotus feet, I will give him my Ayodhya. I will make him the king of Ayodhya. Ravan will become the Raja of Ayodhya. All the Vanar Sena, Hanumanji, Angad, Sugriv, now they are overwhelmed. They are overwhelmed seeing the love of Lord Ramchandra. What can you say? What can you say to Lord Ramchandra? But Hanumanji, to bring out the greatness of his master, Sri Ramchandra, Hanumanji further inquires, "Oh my Lord, you have already given Ayodhya to your brother Bharat. Bharat is ruling over Ayodhya. If you give Ayodhya to Ravan, then where will Bharat go? Where will Bharat rule?" Again, Lord Ramchandra, his oceanic compassion overflooding, he speaks, he declares, Lord Ramchandra says, "When I give Ayodhya to Ravan, I will make Bharat the king of Vaikuntha. I will give him my Vaikuntha. Bharat will become the king of Vaikuntha." Now everybody's emotions are getting churned, seeing the compassionate mood of Lord Ramchandra with folded hands and tears of love flowing from his lotus eyes. Hanumanji puts his last question to Lord Ramchandra. "Oh Vaikuntha Nath, oh Lord of Vaikuntha, Sri Ramchandra, if you make Bharat the ruler of Vaikuntha, the Lord of Vaikuntha, the King of Vaikuntha, then where will you go? Because you are the ruler of Vaikuntha. Where will you go, Sri Ram?" Lord Ramchandra, with his beautiful lotus-like eyes, looks at Hanumanji, whose eyes are overflooding with tears of ecstasy. And looking into the beautiful eyes of Hanumanji, Sri Ramchandra declares, "I will simply live in the hearts of my devotees. I will make Vibhishan the king of Lanka. I will make Ravan the king of Ayodhya. I will make Bharat the king of Vaikuntha, and I will simply live in the hearts of my devotees." Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai. That is our Lord. This is our Lord. When Lord Ramchandra used to walk through the forests, Lakshman would try his best to remove the thorns and sharp pebbles from the forest path. But what to do? Lakshman also had to be watchful about the demons and other dangers that lurked in the forest. Sometimes, by the inconceivable achintya arrangement of Sri Ram, some sharp thorns and some sharp pebbles would pierce his soft lotus feet. At night, when Sri Ramchandra used to take rest, Srimati Sita Devi, the embodiment of Pada Sevanam, would sit at the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra. And she would massage his soft feet. His feet were as soft as the petals of a beautiful rose. His feet were soft like freshly churned butter. These soft feet were pierced with sharp thorns and sharp pointed pebbles. And there was blood coming out from the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra. Seeing the lotus feet of Lord Ramchandra, these lotus feet, which are the supreme shelter of the devotees, Abhay Charanarvinda, the lotus feet which award fearlessness to the devotees, the lotus feet which are the highest meditation of Srimati Sita Devi, the lotus feet which are the object of her service. When she saw these feet, lotus feet were pierced by sharp thorns and pebbles and they were bleeding. She was heartbroken. This sight was unbearable. Srimati Sita Devi's lotus hands, trembling with emotion, she tried to remove a thorn from the lotus foot of Sri Ramchandra as he was sleeping one night. As soon as Mother Sita touched that thorn, immediately Lord Ramchandra woke up and asked her, "O Sita, my dear Sita, what are you doing?" With tears in her eyes, Mother Sita said, "I cannot bear to see this sharp thorns and pebbles piercing your lotus feet. Your lotus feet are bleeding. I was just trying to remove one thorn from your lotus feet." Lord Ramchandra became very grave. He looked at Mother Sita and told Sita Devi, "Please do not remove a single thorn or a single pebble." Mother Sita folded her hands and begged, "I cannot bear to see them giving you so much pain. Please allow me to remove these thorns and pebbles from your lotus feet. Please." Lord Ramchandra told Mother Sita, "I cannot allow you to remove these thorns and pebbles from my feet because these thorns and pebbles have taken shelter at my lotus feet. And anyone who takes shelter at my lotus feet, whether he or she is giving me pain or pleasure, whether he or she is like a soft flower petal or like a sharp thorn, whoever he or she may be, when anyone takes shelter at my lotus feet, I can never ever reject them. This is my vrat. This is my vow. These thorns and pebbles have taken shelter at my lotus feet. I will never reject them. Please do not remove them." Shri Sita Ramchandra Bhagwan ki jai. This is the supremely compassionate heart of our Lord. In our initial stages of bhakti, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we make mistakes. We commit sinful activities because we are not able to overcome our conditionings. We are not able to say no to temptations. We make aparads. We make sins, offenses, mistakes. We do so many wrong things. We are like those thorns and pebbles piercing the lotus feet of Krishna, the same lotus feet of whom we have taken shelter. Instead of serving those feet, we are giving pain. We are making those lotus feet bleed. But the Lord is so merciful that He will not reject us. He will not reject us. Therefore, we should pray for purification. We should chant in such a way that we become transformed from sharp thorns and sharp pebbles into soft petals of a beautiful fragrant flower. And that is possible if we follow the process that Srila Prabhupada has given us of chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra attentively at the most suitable time of the day, where we can do this service the best, and we should avoid sinful activities. We should try to follow the four regulative principles, and we should avoid criticizing and fault finding and offending others. So just like there are two stages of Dasyaras, the Sakhyaras also has two stages. There is a stage of Vibhishan and Sugriv where there is awe and reverence, and there is a stage of Madhu Mangal and Sridama and Subala where there is no awe and reverence. When Vatsalaras also has two types. There is Vatsalaras with more awe and reverence where there is knowledge that this child is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like Dashrath and Kaikeyi, like Vasudev and Devaki. They knew that Krishna is Bhagavan. That is one level. And the higher level of Vatsalaras is that of Yashoda Maiya and Nanda Baba, where the knowledge that Bal Gopal is Bhagavan is irrelevant. It doesn't cross their minds. Their love is so intense that even if Krishna weren't Bhagavan, it would do nothing to change their love. Krishna's godhood is irrelevant to them. The Vatsalya Bhav is so intense. It is so intense, so powerful, so purified that nothing else matters. Just the relationship of love, that's all. That is the higher rasa of Vatsalya. In Vatsalya, there is another interesting phenomenon happening compared to Sakya, Dasya and Shanta. Vibhishan prayed, Tava Asmi, I am yours, my Lord. That is one level. The higher level is you are mine. In the initial stages, we stand in front of Radha and Krishna. We fold our hands and we pray, Krishna, Radha Krishna, I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. But in the higher stages, it becomes Radha and Krishna, you are mine. You are mine. You are mine. That is Vatsalya. You are mine. I have to protect you. I have to feed you, otherwise you will become weak. And when in Vatsalyaras, intense love, intense prem with no other responsibilities, no other distractions, one-pointed love is added, So much so that there is nothing that exists other than the love that is called Madhurya Ras. That is even the higher stage than Vatsalya. The love is so intense that we become equals. The lover and the beloved are on the same platform. Yet, the other four rasas exist. The tendency to be protective exists. The tendency to be friendly exists. The tendency to serve exists. The tendency to facilitate in Shantaras, that also exists. Plus, there is intense one-pointed love and attraction. That is Madhurya Ras. And Madhurya Ras is of two types, Swakya and Parakya. When the devotee is married to Krishna in a relationship of husband and wife, that is Swakya. It is an exalted level, exalted relationship, like Rukmini and Dwarkadhish Krishna, like Sita Devi and Sri Ramchandra Bhagavan, like Lakshmi Devi and Lord Narayan, like that. That is Swakya. However, Swakya Madhurya Ras has a certain expectation, obligation due to the relationship of husband and wife. When Madhurya Ras becomes even more intensified with a constant fear, constant transcendental fear of imminent separation, or constant fear of losing the beloved, that is Parakya. So Madhurya Ras has Swakya and Parakya. Parakya Ras is Srimati Radharani. From the Tattva perspective, Radha and Krishna are always one. They are inseparable. Just like the sun rays cannot be separated from the sun. When Ravan comes to Mother Sita in the Ashok Gardens and tries to tempt her by saying, I will make you the queen of Lanka. I will make my chief wife Mandodari your dasi, your servant. Please marry me, accept me as your husband. He tries to tempt Sita Devi with his wealth, his power, his fame, his opulence. Mother Sita Devi, who is helpless, surrounded by Rakshasis and Ravan, picks up a blade of grass from the ground and holds it as a partition between him, between Ravan and her. And she says, Shakya lobhayitum naham aishwaryena dhanenava ananya raghavenaham bhaskarena prabhayatha. Shakya lobhayitum naham. It is not possible to tempt me. Shakya lobhayitum. Lobha means to tempt. Shakya means possible. Na means not. Shakya lobhayitum naham. Aham means me. Aishwaryena dhanenava. Either by opulence or by your wealth. Aishwaryena dhanenava. Ananya raghavenaham. I cannot be separated from Raghav. Ananya means I cannot be separated. Ananya raghavenaham. Bhaskarena prabhayatha. Just like you cannot separate Prabha, the sun rays, from Bhaskar, the sun, You cannot separate me from my beloved Raghav. I cannot be tempted by these temptations that you are offering me. So when we feel tempted to do something sinful, when we feel tempted away from pure devotional service, we can also meditate and pray to Srimati Sita Devi by chanting this verse. Shakya lobhayitum naham maishwaryena dhanena va ananya raghavena ham bhaskarena prabhayatha, and pray to Sita Devi that you are the prabha of Lord Ramchandra. Lord Ramchandra is like the sun and you are his warm sun rays. Please keep me in the association, in the warm association of your devotees. Let me never go away from the warmth of Sadhu Sangha and the bright sunlight, the illumination of Bhakti Yoga. Please give me intelligence to control my mind and say no to temptations. So this Radha and Krishna, although the Tattva teaches us that they are inseparable. Bhaskarena Prabhayatha. Radha and Krishna are inseparable. Energetic and energy. Radharani is the Ladini Shakti of Krishna. Cannot be separated. Cannot be separated. But for the sake of rasa, there are two things. There is Tattva, which is the reality, and there is rasa, which is the leela, leela shakti. From the rasa standpoint, Srimati Radharani is married to Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu is an incarnation of Krishna's own shadow. Abhimanyu is an expansion of Krishna. He is not another Jivatma. Abhimanyu is Radharani's husband. He is an expansion of Krishna. Krishna placed his own expansion as Abhimanyu, as the husband of Srimati Radharani, for the sake of Leela, Rasa. So from the Tattva standpoint, Radha and Krishna are always united. They are inseparable. They are husband and wife eternally. They are our supreme mother and father for all living entities. That is Tattva. But from the Rasa standpoint, if you want to enter the Rasa, Krishna Rasamrita, then Radharani is married to another man, Abhimanyu. But don't feel brokenhearted. This Abhimanyu is Krishna's own expansion. It's Krishna's shadow. But everybody thinks, oh, Srimati Radharani is married to this Abhimanyu. And to make matters worse, she has the worst mother-in-law. And the worst sister-in-law, Jatila and Kutila. We feel that in the material world, Saas Bahu, you know, the fights between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, they are the subject of so many mundane entertainment movies and soap operas and all that. But Urdhva Moolam Adhoshaka. The material world is a reflection, inverted, perverted reflection of the spiritual world. These things are going on in a transcendental, ecstatic way in Goloka Vrindavan. Saas Bahu problems. And what we see is just an inverted reflection, a perverted reflection in the material world. All these seven indirect rasas, they are so beautiful. It is explained. We'll just discuss few. We are, this is what the time is. We are running out of. Let me see. Oh, it's already. Time is up. But there are so many. Each of these rasas has beautiful pastimes, which Rupa Goswami mentions in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Srila Prabhupada has given us a very nice, easy to read summary study, Nectar of Devotion. So you can read There are so many pastimes, but maybe in the future classes, if Krishna desires, we can discuss them. So these secondary mellows, the seven secondary mellows, there are five principal mellows which we discussed, and there are seven secondary mellows. They overlap the primary mellows to enhance the sweetness of Krishna consciousness. For example, Bhishma Dev is in Dasya Ras primarily, but to enhance Krishna's pleasure during the battle of Kurukshetra, Virya Ras was added to his Dasya Ras, and therefore he was able to pierce Krishna's transcendental body with his sharp arrows and even make Krishna bleed. And he speaks about these things in his prayers in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that how pleasing it was for Krishna when Bhishma Dev's arrows pierced Krishna's body and made Krishna bleed. So in this way, all these secondary rasas are also there. Everything exists to give pleasure to Krishna, to give pleasure to Radha and Krishna. So we will stop here. I am very grateful to all of you for keeping me in your association and giving me a chance to serve all of you. I will conclude with just one statement, that if we analyze the material world, we saw how the Shantaras in this world is nothing compared to the Shantaras in the spiritual world. In the Shantaras, when Krishna wants something, the trees will produce the flowers just right for Krishna's Leela. The trees will offer their best fruits to Krishna. They will bend down and give. Mother Yamuna's water, the temperature of the water, the taste of the water will be just right to give pleasure to the master of the senses, Rishikesh. Then the Dasya Ras in the spiritual world is nothing like the Dasya Ras we see in the material world. A Lota Baba, Krishna's friend in Goloka Vrindavan. When Krishna was leaving for Mathura, that evening, that afternoon, Krishna was supposed to have lunch at his house. So when Krishna was leaving with Balramji and Akrur, Lota Baba came running. He said, "Krishna, Balram, you are supposed to come to my house for lunch. Where are you going? Why are you going like this?" And Krishna said, "I will come Parso. I'll come day after tomorrow." Where Krishna said Parso, the village there has been named Parso. Means day after tomorrow. "I'll come day after tomorrow," Krishna promises him. And Lota Baba, he waited all his life. Every day he would cook. His family would cook that today Krishna will come. Today Krishna Balram will come. But Krishna never came. Even today he is waiting for Krishna. At the puchari, at the tail part of Govardhan, Govardhan is like a peacock. So the puchari, the tail part of Govardhan, there is a temple of this Lota Baba, still waiting for Krishna to come so he can feed Krishna. This is the caliber of Krishna's friend, Sakhyaras. Will we ever see a friend like this in the material world who is going to wait every single day, 5,000 years, for a friend to come? Not at all. Not possible. So Sakhyaras in the spiritual world is completely different from any experience of Sakhya that we may have in the material world. Similarly, Vatsalyaras, when Krishna left, Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba, they were incessantly crying. When Uddhav came, he found that they were like living corpses, moving corpses. Krishna and Balram had left, and it was as if their life air had left their bodies. They were stunned. They could not speak for days. Tears would constantly flow from their eyes. Acharyas explained that Uddhav was able to identify Nanda Bhavan because two streams of tears were flowing out. One coming from Nanda Maharaj, other coming from Yashoda Mai. They were just continuously crying in separation from Krishna Balaram. When we came to America, our parents did not cry like that. Or when our children go to college, or when they go for a few days somewhere, we don't cry like that. We don't feel that kind of love, that kind of separation. So yes, we love our children. Our parents love us, but it is not like the love of the spiritual world. It is not like the love that the devotees in Vatsalyaras experience for Krishna. That is pure love. It is ghana. It is very concentrated, like this purport explained. Like how when a cloud becomes saturated with water, ghana, it becomes rain filled, rain saturated cloud, and it pours water like anything. It can flood a whole city like that. The love becomes concentrated. That is the spiritual world. And similarly, Madhurya Ras, you know, we see so much divorce. You know, most of the relationships are based on you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. And unless we have Krishna consciousness, that the relationship between a husband and wife is actually very contaminated. Because when you have Krishna consciousness, the husband and wife are together as friends. That yes, we have weaknesses, we have difficulties, but like loving God brothers and God sisters, like loving friends, we will help each other steadily march towards Krishna's lotus feet, protected by the fort of Grihastasram. Husband and wife, they protect each other from Maya. And together, hand in hand, under the directions of their guru, they serve Krishna. Because their aim is, we both have to become purified. We both have to advance in Krishna consciousness. So much so that they are even willing to give half of their spiritual credits to their better half. That is ideal Grihastha Ashram. Ultimately, the supreme husband is Krishna. And we are all his wives, so to say. We are all his servants. We are his prakriti. He is the Purush. He is the enjoyer. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Pitaham asya jagata mata dhata pitamaha vedyam pavitram omkara riksama yajurevacha. Pitaham asya jagata. I am the father. Mata dhata pitamaha. No, grandfather also. Krishna, because grandparents are very merciful, na, towards the grandchildren. You must have noticed when grandparents come, they pamper and spoil and they offer so much love and care to the grandchildren. So Krishna says, don't just think that I am Mata Pita. I am also Pita, I am also grandparent. Krishna is so wonderful. So even the Madhurya Ras is not based on sense gratification and vested interests, selfish interests. No. It is only for the pleasure of Krishna. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was explaining in one of his classes that in Holi, in Goloka Vrindavan, when Radha and Krishna, they play Holi, when Krishna puts color on Radharani, he's thinking, let me smear this color on you and you will look even more beautiful. It will enhance your beauty. And Radharani will immediately put color on Krishna and say, look, Krishna, you're looking even more beautiful now. And then Krishna will again put color on Radharani. See, I'm enhancing your beauty. You're looking even better with this color here. And Radharani will throw some color on Krishna and say, look, you're becoming more beautiful. You're looking so attractive now. You're looking like a peacock. So in this way, everything they do, it is to increase the pleasure of the beloved, not for my own pleasure. We know that famous story of Krishna when he wanted to establish Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu. And the highest worship is by the Vrajavadhus, the gopis of Vrindavan. He told Narada Muni, I have a severe splitting headache. It can only be relieved from the dust of the feet of my devotees. Bring dust from the feet of my devotees and put it on my head. Only then my headache will be relieved. All the yogis and sadhus, they were afraid to give their dust because they knew the tattva. That if we give dust from our feet and put it on Krishna's head, we will go to hell. We will suffer in hell. We cannot do that. So they are thinking about their liberation, their moksha, their destination, their elevation. Not about Bhaktavatsal Krishna. But when Narad Muni approaches the gopis, they say, immediately collect dust from their feet. Take this, take it quickly to Krishna. Narad Muni says, but don't you know? If you give dust from your feet and I put it on Krishna's head, you will get sins, you will go to hell. Krishna is Bhagwan. They say, you first go, please, Maharaj, you go, give it to Krishna, relieve him of his headache, then come back. Then we'll explain to you our reasoning. Go, go, go. So Narad Muni pretends to go and then comes back and says, okay, now his headache is relieved. But tell me, why did you do that? The gopis explain that if we are able to relieve Krishna of his pain, even for one moment, for that we are happy to go and suffer in hell for the rest of eternity. That is the selfless love of the gopis. So this Madhurya Ras is not anything like the so-called Madhurya Ras or husband-wife or boyfriend-girlfriend feelings that we see in the material world, because they are contaminated by lust and selfish, egoistic motivations. So if the Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakhyaras, Vatsalyaras in the spiritual world is nothing like the Shanta, Dasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya that we see in the material world, then how can the Madhurya Ras of the spiritual world be anything comparable to the Madhurya, so-called Madhurya Ras that we see in the material world? It's not possible. Therefore, it's a completely transcendental, spiritual, achintya rasa, the Madhurya Rasa. And we should never make the mistake, we should never make the aparad of considering it to be some lusty relationship. Not at all. We cannot understand the relationship of Krishna with his Nitya Siddha devotees in our current condition. Yes, we can read scriptures, we can give nice classes, we can talk about them and appear like so-called experts. But we may have knowledge, we may be able to quote Sanskrit verses, we may be able to quote from different scriptures and talk about these topics, but what realization do we have? What realization do we have? We are just talking like a parrot. At least I am. Just talking. But no realization. This is achintya. This is the highest stage of evolution of a jivatma. When all these unnecessary coverings are removed and the real self becomes manifest. Jivera Swarupa Hai Krishna Ranitya Das. When Krishna gives his mercy, when Radharani gives his mercy, when Guru Maharaj gives their mercy, then these things are revealed to us. With our own intelligence, we cannot capture these things. These things are revealed. So just these are a few thoughts that I wanted to share with all of you. I am so grateful to be in your association. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam. All ladies to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you for the very ecstatic class as usual. I really love the way you started off with Srimad Bhagavatam, talking about the prayers of all the wonderful devotees, and then how the rasas are very different in the material and the spiritual world by that example of Shantarasa that you were giving. And even when you were speaking about Vibhishana's story, that was so beautiful. And then the Vatsalya thing, that you go first, you go say, Krishna, I'm yours. And then in Vatsalya Rasa, it becomes, Krishna, you are mine. Very nice. So very, very beautiful realizations. Very, very sweet class. Thank you so much as usual. We feel very energized when we hear your class. Thank you so much again, Prabhu. I request others to ask your questions or comments. I have unmuted everyone. And just one other announcement. The recording will be sent by Priyanka Mataji. She will send it like in 20-25 minutes. So I request everyone to please hold on till then. Thank you so much. Others can take over. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for this fascinating class. I did have one question about Shantaras and Dasyaras. Taking the example in Shantaras of the, let's say, the trees bowing down and offering their fruit to Krishna, and then there's Dasya Ras. When it comes to these, because they're both in these, in this example, you know, both rasas, there's active attempt to serve Krishna. It's not so clear to me that distinction, you know, between Shanta and Dasya.
Yes, Mataji, very nice question. Hare Krishna. So, Mataji, Dasya Ras, you can look at it as, I am facilitating Krishna's Leela. And Dasya Ras means, I will make Krishna's Leela happen. Does that make sense? One, you are facilitating, and the other one, I will make it happen. For example, if someone says that, you know, just assist, just making it happen, just assisting, facilitating it. If Krishna wants to drink water and just providing that water, or, you know, soft soil under his lotus feet, the flute in his hands, we are facilitating. And when Arjun's, or when Hanumanji says, that I will find Mother Sita, I will kill the Rakshasas, you know, I will make it happen. That is Dasya. So it's a continuum, it's a spectrum, and when that feeling to serve and make things happen for the Lord becomes intensified, Shanta becomes Dasya.
So I guess you can say then that in Dasya, there's more initiative on the part of this, you know.
Exactly.
Yes. Whereas in Shanta, the soul is simply, is on Krishna's initiative, and then they facilitate Krishna's initiative. They don't take initiative there. Something like that, maybe.
Yes, Mataji. Facilitation versus making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a continuum.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, excuse me. I did have one other question about this spectrum. It's killing me now because it just went out of my mind. But, anyway, I've forgotten it, but I will also ask, when it comes to Dasya, as you said, there are two kinds of Dasya. One, there's awe and reverence, right? And the other is,
So there is just attitude of servitude, and that is called Sambhrama Dasya. That is more like awe and reverence, respectful service. And the other one is Gaurava Dasya, where you want to give protection to the Lord, like Hanumanji, trying to protect Lakshman, trying to protect Lord Ramchandra, trying to protect Mother Sita. That is higher. Gaurava.
Okay, so one is one and Who is an example of the other one, which is more awe and reverence, not so much protective?
Prahlad Maharaj.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. And I know that the other question I had to do with the Shingar Madhurya Rasa. When you were describing that Rasa, I think you were saying that when the Vatsalya Rasa, you were saying in that Rasa there's like, the devotee sees no distinction really, or nothing enters into the devotee's mind but Krishna. You know, there's no other thought but Krishna when it comes to, you know, the conjugal rasa. But I think, isn't it true that we can say that for all of the rasas? There's no other, I mean, the spiritual world, there's exclusively thoughts of Krishna. So I wasn't able to really see how that sets the conjugal rasa apart.
It's, you're right, Mataji. Pure, all these five rasas that we're discussing, they apply to pure devotees, Shuddha Bhaktas. So pure devotee means one is completely surrendered to Krishna. One is completely Krishna conscious. But even that complete Krishna consciousness, when it becomes more and more condensed, like Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport of milk. There is milk, it is perfect milk. But when you boil it, it becomes, that perfect milk becomes even more concentrated milk, condensed milk. So it is like that. Yes, all these devotees are having intense love for Krishna, Santa, Dasya, Sakya and Vatsalya. But in Madhurya, that love becomes even more condensed, even more intensified. So much so that, you know, Krishna becomes you're preoccupied, completely preoccupied. There is nothing else. For example, Nanda Maharaj. I'm just giving you a little crude example. Nanda Maharaj, he has so many other duties to do. He is the king and he has to take care of the village, take care of the things that are going on in the village. You know, he has to pay taxes mm-hmm. to Kamsa. He's doing so many other duties. But Lakshmi Devi has no other work. She's always at the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. So you see, I'm just giving a rough example. Or, you know, take the example of Rukmini Devi, or take the example of Srimati Radharani. Madhuri Rasa is considered to be higher because that love is even more condensed. Now, there was one other thing I wanted to say, but we ran out of time, and I will probably say it next time, not today. But suffice it to say that all these things that we are talking, that, you know, Prahlad Maharaj is this Dasya, and then Hanumanji is a higher level of Dasya, Vibhishan and Sugriv, they are Sakya, and then Sudama and Shridama and Madhumangal, they are at a higher level of Sakya. All these things are true from the rasa standpoint. But from the tattva standpoint, these are all Nitya Siddha Bhaktas. These are all pure devotees. There is no difference between Prahlad Maharaj and Madhumangal. There is no difference. They are pure devotees. But from the rasa standpoint, we can make this distinction. That this is more concentrated, this is higher, this is lower. But that is only strictly from the rasa standpoint.
Yes.
So that we have to understand. You know, it's not like there is a competition between Madhumangal and Prahlad, and Madhumangal is, So it is like saying that Krishna is, complete Purushottam Bhagwan, and Lord Ramchandra does not have those four qualities that Krishna has. It's like saying like that. From a tattva standpoint, there is no difference between Lord Ramchandra and Sri Krishna Chandra. There is no difference between the two. But Lord Krishna chooses to manifest some more rasas, which Lord Ramchandra chooses not to manifest. One of those four qualities is the Venu Madhuri, the sweetness of Krishna's flute. Now, is it that Lord Ramchandra is not competent to play a flute? No. Lord Ramchandra is not choosing to manifest Venu Madhuri. So, Radhanath Maharaj, in one of his classes, he explains this in a very simple way. He says that just like the moon, there is the crescent moon, there is the half moon, there is the, you know, three-fourth moon or gibbous moon, there is a full moon. So it's like that. So Krishna, Vishnu Tattva, they are all like the moon. When we are seeing a crescent moon, it doesn't mean that the moon has become small. If you go to the moon planet, the moon is full. It is a full moon always. But we are able to see only a crescent of that moon. So we call it crescent moon. So similarly, Parshuram or Vamanadev or Narasimha Bhagwan, they may not be manifesting several rasas, like Vatsalya Rasa, Narasimha Bhagwan did not manifest. So, but that doesn't mean that there is something lacking, or Lord Krishna is more powerful physically than Lord Narasimha Dev. That is a very, very mundane understanding. It is not like that. It is just that Lord Narasimha Dev is choosing to manifest only a crescent or a half. Whereas Lord Ramchandra, you know, he is manifesting even more rasas. He has, you know, Vatsalya Ras, he has some friends, he has Sakya Ras. Narasimha Bhagwan doesn't have friends. But Lord Ramchandra has Vibhishan, and he has friends, he has servants. Narasimha Bhagwan does not need servants. Lord Ramchandra is having these beautiful exchanges with his servants, with Hanumanji, for example, with Angad, with Sugriv. So Lord Ramchandra is manifesting a full moon. But then Krishna is like the full moon with the hue of saffron on Sharat Purnima. He's like the full moon among the full moons. He's that supremely beautiful Gaur Purnima ka moon, not any other full moon. So there is something that Krishna manifests in his leela, which Krishna does not manifest when he comes as other incarnation. Let's put it that way. So that is the difference. So they are all one from a sattva standpoint, but from the rasa standpoint, we can make some distinctions. So that is same with the devotees, like Prahlad and Madhu Mangal. Does that make sense, Mataji?
Well, this is such a beautiful, beautiful explanation, Prabhu. I really, really appreciate it so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Just to ask, maybe if we can have just one more class, since there were many things that you wanted to say and you couldn't finish this class. So maybe the next class we schedule with you, do you think you would want to take another class on the extension of this topic?
Whatever all of you order me, I will do that.
Not order, Prabhu.
Just tell me.
Okay, so then we can extend this class, because I think you had many things to say for today, but since we don't have time, it was not over. So we will just extend this class in the next session you come on the call, so that we feel complete after you have finished speaking all that you had in mind. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Mataji. By serving all of you the way you want me to serve, I will feel complete. So thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Can you, will you be able to give everything what is on your mind?
Sorry, Mataji. Will I be able to give, if Krishna allows me, if you empower me? Yes, Mataji, next time maybe we can. There was actually one thing I wanted to discuss about what Mataji had asked, the question about these different rasas, different levels of rasas. Krishna does something which completely, you say, upside down. It makes our understanding completely upside down. Our understanding is that, you know, there is Shantaras, then more advanced is Dasyaras, then more advanced is Vatsalyaras, then more advanced is Madhuryaras. Krishna completely turns this around. Krishna is Achintya. Krishna is so sweet. So I wanted to discuss, should I tell that? I think we should tell.
If you give me 2-3 minutes, can I tell it quickly?
Sure, Prabhu.
Please. I hope everybody agrees. Please do.
Because Mataji asked that question, raised that point. So see, when we study this, doesn't our brains, whatever capacity we have, our understanding is, oversimplified understanding is, there is Shantaras, then there is Dasyaras, then there is Sakhyaras, then there is Vatsalaras, and then there is highest is Madhuryaras. So in Goloka Vrindavan, among Madhuryaras also, there is Swakiya Bhav and there is Parakiya Bhav. Srimati Radharani and her associates, Lalita Devi and Vishakha Devi, they are in the Parakya Madhurya Bhav, which is the highest. And all the Ashtasakis, they are actually expansions of Srimati Radharani to facilitate Krishna's enjoyment, Krishna's Leela. They are always assisting in the Leelas of Radha and Krishna. Now, there are certain Leelas which Radha and Krishna perform, certain Leelas which Radha and Krishna enjoy on a completely transcendental plane, which cannot be enjoyed by them, which cannot be enjoyed by the divine couple in the presence of the Ashtasakhis. Because the Ashtasakhis are more or less the same age of Radha and Krishna. So it is very embarrassing for Srimati Radharani to taste certain rasas, certain leelas with Krishna in the presence of her friends. So during such times, Lalita Devi, Vishakha Devi, Sudevi, Tunga Vidya, all the Ashtasakis, they keep their distance. And what they do is, throughout these leelas, the Ashtasakis are being assisted by their Manjari servants. Now Manjaris are very young, they are 9 or 10 years old, whereas the Ashtasakis, they are 14 to 16 years old. So these Manjaris, they are very, very young, very, very innocent. So Srimati Radharani and Shri Krishna, many times they feel comfortable enjoying certain leelas, not in the presence of the Ashtasakis, but in the presence only of the innocent Manjari girls. There are certain leelas which Srimati Radharani doesn't feel comfortable enjoying with Krishna, even in the presence of the Manjaris. Even in the presence of the Manjaris. At such times, even the Manjaris are told by the Sakhis to keep a distance. And only Radha and Krishna enjoy those Leelas. Because Srimati Radharani is in her Mahabhav at that time. This Mahabhav is not to be understood by any Jivatma. It is not possible for a Jivatma to understand the Mahabhav. Not possible even for the Nitya Siddha Jivatmas. Eternally liberated Jivatmas also cannot understand this Mahabhav. Only Krishna, only Srimati Radharani can understand this. Only Srimati Radharani. And Krishna wanted to experience this Mahabhav, this Radhabhav. Therefore he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he was able to experience, taste, relish this Mahabhav. But when Radha and Krishna, when Radharani has to experience this Mahabhav with Krishna for Krishna's pleasure, at that time the Sakhis do not go and even the Manjaris don't go there. But there is one Kalpavruksha tree in Goloka Vrindavan. In the lap of that tree, under that tree, Radha and Krishna relished this Mahabhav. Their intimate exchanges, where nobody else was there. No Sakhis, no Manjaris, nobody. Just Radha and Krishna under this tree. And Srimati Radharani is so merciful that she blessed this tree who is in Shantaras to experience the Mahabhav, which no Jivatma ever in the history of creation has experienced. So we talk about these different devotees from Shantaras all the way to Madhuryaras, but just see Mahabhav of Srimati Radharani, which only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimati Radharani has experienced. Srimati Radharani
empowered this Jivatma in Shantaras, who was there in Goloka Vrindavan as a Kalpavruksha tree, to experience this Mahabhav. Therefore, I said that it completely makes our understanding, you know, upside down. This is Krishna. He is completely achintya. We cannot understand Krishna. So this Jivatma who was in the Santaras, the Kalpavruksha tree, was able to experience the Mahabhav. And when Krishna wanted to come to experience Mahabhav, Srimati Radhani told Krishna that you have to take shelter of this Kalpavruksha tree to be able to experience my Mahabhav. So this Kalpavruksha tree came as Madhavendra Puri, and he was the first person to preach the highest exalted position of Srimati Radharani. And he originally started preaching Radha Prem, and his humble servant was Ishwar Puri. And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Ishwar Puri as his guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not become the servant of this tree. Radharani told him, you have to take shelter of this tree to experience my Mahabhav. But Krishna is so humble that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not become the servant of that tree. He became Dasanudas. He became servant of that servant who had humbly served Madhavendra Puri when Madhavendra Puri was old and invalid. Ishwar Puri had with his own hands cleaned the stool and urine of Madhavendra Puri. Ishwar Puri had recited the beautiful verses of Bhagavatam for the pleasure of Madhavendra Puri. He had given Madhavendra Puri so much joy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Ishwar Puri as his guru. And then taking this Mahabhav from Madhavendra Puri through Ishwar Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu flooded the whole world with Krishna Prem. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. This Krishna Prem is coming from Madhavendra Puri, who is in Shantaras, or at least appears to be in Shantaras in Goloka Vrindavan. Therefore, we cannot judge, we cannot understand. And this mercy of Madhavendra Puri is coming to all of us through Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's followers, Srila Prabhupada's purports, and this Maha Mantra that we have received from Srila Prabhupada, which is coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If this Maha Mantra we chant sincerely, we chant our 16 rounds during Brahma Murta between 4 a.m. and 6:30 a.m. If we can squeeze in our 1 hour 45 minutes of japa time in that Brahma Murta period of 2.5-3 hours, and if we can pray for purification during our attentive japa, and we chant in the presence of our deities in our home, we feel that, oh, we want Radha Krishna deities. But just see Gaur Nitai. Gauranga Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the Mahabhav of Srimati Radharani. Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, Jagannath Ji is Krishna who has become ecstatic in separation from Vrindavan Dham, Vipralambha Bhav. So they may just appear as, oh, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. Oh, what do you have? Oh, Gaur Nitai. Okay. No, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra are showing us the highest, highest experience of Krishna Prem. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu are giving us the highest experience of Krishna Prem. And Radha Krishna, of course, Yugala Murti. Whatever deities we have at home, with love, let us stand in front of them, let us sit in front of them, let us walk in front of them, fighting our sleep. And during Brahma Murta, if we chant our 16 rounds as an offering to Krishna, then we also will be able to advance in Krishna consciousness and get a taste of these rasas of Krishna Prem. And once we taste it, we never want to leave it. We want to experience it again and again and again and again. And that is a gift from Guru and Gauranga. So hope this helps. Understand that we cannot judge. We cannot judge. We cannot understand. We can only understand how much ever Krishna reveals to us. So Krishna is truly Achintya. Srimati Radharani is truly Achintya. That Mahabhava was not given to a Manjari, that Mahabhava was not given to a Sakhi. That Mahabhava was given to a devotee in Shantaras who faithfully served Radha and Krishna and just facilitated their intimate Leela. Got Mahabhava. Came down as Madhavendra Puri. Shripad Madhavendra Puri ki jai. Shri Brahma Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. All glories to our beloved Srila Prabhupada who is giving us all this nectar. Thank you all very much. Sorry for taking so much time. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.